Dear congregation belonging to Christ, it's been a couple of weeks now since our last sermon in connection with our theme about our thoughts and God, or God and our thoughts. And so far we've had four sermons on this subject, and this morning we will consider our fifth and final sermon. Our text this time is from Proverbs 16:3, which we read, where God says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." We will think about this text under the theme, "An Inspired Proverb Worth Perceiving, Praying, Practicing, and Promoting." I'm not sure if you remember the first four sermon texts about our thoughts and God in our thoughts. And just to remind you, think about it. The first sermon was on Psalm 139:2, where we are told, "The Lord understands my thought afar off." We reflected on that, how astounding and how alarming, and yet how attractive truth that is. The second sermon was on 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul exhorts all Christians to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We had that text for a preparatory sermon in view of the Lord's Supper. And then the next Sunday at Lord's Supper, we thought about two verses from Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18, where David exclaims, "How precious, O Lord, also are your thoughts to me. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." That means God is always thinking of his people. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And then for our post-communion Thanksgiving sermon, we reflected, maybe you remember, on Paul's exhortation in Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. For his people, where Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think upon these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, now as we are just starting into the new fall season, in home life, in school life, in church life, and in work life, dear congregation belonging to Christ, listen yet with me to this Holy Spirit-inspired Proverb 16:3. "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." This is indeed an inspired proverb worth perceiving, praying, practicing, and promoting. With perceiving this proverb, our first point, we mean understanding it rightly. And in connection with that, does it not strike you, too, as stating almost the reverse of what we might expect? Notice the proverb doesn't say, "Commit your thoughts to the Lord, and your works will be established." No, but it says the opposite. "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." The more we think about this, we can see this is really special, the way it's put here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All of us have responsibilities given us as we begin a new season. Life at all times, actually, isn't it true, is full of works that we, you and I, are called to do and called to accomplish. I recently spoke with a student in graduate studies, and his list of assignments for the coming months were very daunting, if not overwhelming, to him. Some of you in your work responsibilities, you also share with me, you are way over your head in all that you are called upon to do. As parents with young children in the home, or with growing teenagers too, you and I can feel sometimes the weight of the responsibility to raise our children in God's ways. In school, whether in grade school or high school or university, when you see all that the teachers are expecting of you, And you wonder sometimes, how in the world will you ever get it all done? In church life too. Yes, especially as office bearers seeking to be faithful as Christ's under-shepherd in his church. Thinking of the visits and the meetings and all that's involved in the care of the whole flock of Christ's church, even in a small congregation. Sometimes you may ask, how, Lord, will we be able to accomplish what is required of us? Well, if I may say so personally, I really cherish this inspired Proverb 16:3 because it is directing us and encouraging us to commit all our works to the Lord, everything we are called to do, with the implied blessing, our thoughts will be established. The word commit here means literally roll upon. We are to roll upon the shoulders of the Lord our responsibilities, and he will take care to have them fulfilled and accomplished by us. As one commentator beautifully said on this verse, what a pleasure it is for a weary man to be allowed to cast his burden on one who is well able to bear it. And then he went on, it is our mercy that we are allowed to cast our works and burdens upon the Almighty. In Psalm 55, verse 22, we are invited similarly. There, David, in God's name, says, cast your burden, and the verb for cast there literally means hurl upon, hurl your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. As a Bible study note on that particular verse also states, the word for burden in this verse implies one's life circumstances. And the psalmist promises here that the Lord will uphold the believer in the struggles of life, whatever they may be. Doesn't the Apostle Peter say the same in those very precious verses in 1 Peter 5, where he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In Psalm 81, verse 6, the Lord describes himself delightfully there as the God who delights to remove our shoulder from the burdens in life. And how does he remove our shoulder from the burdens in life? He will put his shoulder under the burden that we carry, so that our shoulders don't have to carry them. And he will take care that the responsibilities and needs, as we roll them upon his shoulders, they will be done. So Jesus says, doesn't he, most graciously and invitingly, to, for all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, who labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Isn't this also behind Paul's most comforting words in Philippians 4, 6, and 7? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So again, Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. What our inspired proverb is instructing us, beloved, is that our goals will be reached, and our responsibilities will be fulfilled as we keep bringing them to the Lord to direct and help us in all our ways. He can guide our thoughts and fulfill our plans as you and I surrender all to him every day anew. In perceiving this proverb correctly, what is implied, of course, is that our works and thoughts and plans be in line with God's word and will. God never promises any blessing and help for those who will live in sin and have thoughts and plans that are ungodly and unrighteous, dishonoring to the Lord and unloving to our neighbors. The way of the wicked the Lord hates, the Bible says. And our plans then, if we will live wickedly, will ultimately come to nothing by God's just rule and sovereign power. That's also stressed in the opening verses of Proverbs 16. We read there that the day of doom is awaiting the wicked. Well, would there be any among us who will go into this fall season not seeking the Lord's will? Not looking to follow Him in life? I pray it not be so for any, older or younger. Rather, let us all hear and value what Proverbs 16:3 so invitingly and jubilantly teaches us. Namely, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. For all who seek to live thus in faith and faithfulness before God and His word and will, in all the responsibilities, in family life, church life, school life, and work life, and society life, oh God will give us, in our thoughts, He will guide us, and He will help us in our ways, even as we commit all over to Him and roll upon His shoulders all that we face and all that we are called to do. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Congregation, the meaning is our thoughts and goals in life will succeed when our responsibilities are given over to God again and again. As one said, faith is the only principle of solid establishment. Faith in God is the only principle of solid establishment. Trusting and following Jesus and His gospel, word and will, in all we are called to do, is the only way of real and everlasting success. Well, perceiving this proverb, are you and I doing so? When we understand it, isn't it such an encouraging word from the Lord? Especially also when sometimes you may feel so overwhelmed, perhaps, in the responsibilities and duties of life. Perhaps you are about to write a very important exam. Or maybe you face a huge financial debt. Or you have a major work presentation or challenge. Or you think of the countless tasks you need to get done each day, also in this new week. Or maybe you think of something facing you a couple months from now and it's overwhelming you. Whatever the case, commit your works to the Lord, roll them upon His shoulders, and He will enable your thoughts to be established. That is, He will take care that you do succeed and persevere in God's ways to His glory and for your neighbor's good. You know, as your pastor, I can tell you from my own experience what Proverbs 16:3 has often served me, what it says has often served me as a great encouragement. Especially too with writing sermons and preaching God's word in a faithful and edifying way. Who is sufficient for these things? I mean, Sundays come so quickly every time again. But casting our cares upon the Lord, see what He can and will accomplish even in spite of ourselves. For a biblical example of someone who lived by Proverbs 16:3, think of Eliezer in Genesis 24. You know, he was Abraham's servant, remember? And he was given the task by Abraham to find a godly wife for Isaac. And he had to go many miles to find him among Abraham's relatives far away. And when Eliezer made that journey and was wrestling with how to fulfill this holy responsibility given to him, we read in Genesis 24, verse 12, he prayed, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham." And then you have this marvelous story of the chapter of how Eliezer finds a godly wife for Isaac. And it proves so clearly how Eliezer's thoughts and plans were established even as he diligently went about his sacred responsibility, committing it to the Lord. Genesis 24 is the most delightful chapter. You may want to read it between church. It's a confirmation of Proverbs 16:3, surely. That true story in the Old Testament also demonstrates what is said earlier in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. There we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Well, here already we've come to our second thought in connection with our text. Noticing how this proverb is not only so worth perceiving, but also worth praying. And I mean with this, when you think of all our responsibilities, whether as children or youth or adults, and whether as single or married, and with children or without children, whatever our duties in life, how good to look to the Lord. Yes, in faith, for the faithful discharge of all that you and I are called to do. Shouldn't you and I every day ask the Lord to be our guide and our helper, our strength and our refuge, with all the responsibilities in life given to us? Yes, even with that homework assignment. Yes, and with memory work for Sunday school and catechism class, but also with working with difficult co-workers, or dealing with a challenging spouse, or with wayward church members, or with classmates tempting you in wrong ways. And what about with the work assignments and work project responsibilities that you and I may have? We are called to do our level best, but always looking to the Lord to bless. Also with our spiritual responsibilities, to seek and serve the Lord. Let's commit that to God. Notice too, it is the Lord that we are to commit our works to. With the Lord here in capital letters, referring to no one else but Jehovah God, the great I am that I am, who never fails, who is the sovereign God, and who is the ever faithful covenant-keeping God. The Proverbs are more inspired observations on life than inspired promises for life. But when we bring those observations on life to God the Lord, the promise-keeping God will also fulfill them in our lives as we ask for his blessing. The Almighty and faithful Lord, you don't pray to him in vain when you ask him to help you and to be merciful to you every step of your life, with every responsibility and care in your life. I mean, is God's hand ever shortened in any way to help us in whatever cares and responsibilities we face? The Bible says, no, never. Rather, with him always, what is impossible with us is possible with him. Especially with the Lord remembering us in mercy and sustaining us in his grace and love and power and care. How good in this light, always and again then, to commit in prayer our works to the Lord, for him to take care that our thoughts be established, or you might paraphrase, that our lives be blessed, that our plans and goals in his service be accomplished. And again, as pastor, I can share with you that often Proverbs 16:3 has been my prayer to God, asking for his help in the responsibilities on my shoulders. Even with this little series on our thoughts and God and our thoughts, I actually came up with it after asking God to help me, what I should focus on the last weeks of summer and coming again into another fall season. Just prayerfully reflecting and meditating on God's word, my duties as ministers of the word and pastor to the congregation, this little series came together, first in seed form and then in sermon form. Committing my work to the Lord, he established my thoughts. I can share with you, too, that one time, very early in my years of ministry, I so needed God's help in putting sermons together. And I never forget the time when I couldn't get a sermon together. Even as I began as a pastor in my first congregation. It was a very humbling experience when I just had to admit to the church family in a worship service where my message was less than 10 minutes. And I told them, I thought it might come together on the pulpit, but that didn't happen. But did God fail me then? And did Proverbs 16:3 actually not work for me? No. In fact, God had higher purposes in having me fail. To teach me early, never ever could I rely on myself and think I can wing it somehow up here. And yet, how I surely had to do my best in sermon preparation, even as I looked to the Lord to help me. Plus, the congregation, which was only too glad to have a minister, was made to realize when that happened, not ever to look to me as a person for blessing, but only always to Christ alone. Yes, in spite of myself, in God's loving kindness, our thoughts were all established, the more established in God's grace and for looking to him alone for success in any gospel ministry. And I learned that, and I keep learning that, and I pray God I'll never forget it. He makes, even when we fail, he never fails. And he makes all things work together for good to those who love him. So again, commit your works to the Lord, and he will establish your thoughts. And as another translation of our text or paraphrase put it, then your plans will succeed. What a text, congregation, inviting us to prayer. Don't you think so and say so too? Will you live daily in prayer in regards to all your responsibilities in life that God puts on your path, whether as a child or a youth or a spouse or a parent or an employer or an employee or a church member or an office bearer or a neighbor or a citizen? I've mentioned to you before a very good prayer, which I often pray almost every day while I'm still on my bed before I get up. I put some of the stanza of this prayer in the bulletin, but I'll just quote to you the 13th stanza. Direct control suggests this day all I design or do or say, that all my powers with all their might in thy sole glory may unite. What a prayer. That's a good prayer. Do you agree with me? So to begin each day prayerfully to God in view of our text, how good that is. Well, will you so respond, not exactly the same, but in that kind of way, to Proverbs 16:3, seeing it's a holy proverb, worth perceiving and praying. And also, thirdly, it's worth practicing, this proverb. And I say that because when you and I are truly perceiving something and really praying something in relation to God's word, well, then it should reflect, shouldn't it, in our daily life, in our practice. If you only pray in form and it doesn't reflect in your life, well, then you're just a hypocrite. And sadly, there are too many hypocrites often. But God keep us from being hypocrites. What's involved in practicing Proverbs 16:3? Commit your works to the Lord and he will establish your thoughts. Well, what's involved is that we realize our lives are to be lived for God and good. And our lives can only prosper in grace and truth and fruitfulness before God and our neighbor when we are ever devoted to the Lord and humbly dependent on him in all that you and I ever think and say and do. Well, is this also your and my persuasion? You know, one study Bible note said very searchingly in this regard, it said, there are different ways to fail to commit our work to the Lord. Some commit their work only superficially. They say the project is done for the Lord, but in reality, they are doing it only for themselves. Others give God temporary control of their interests and responsibilities, only to take control back the moment things aren't going the way they expect or the way they want. And still others, they commit their tasks fully to the Lord, or say they do, but then they put forth no effort themselves to fulfill their responsibilities. And then they wonder why they don't succeed. As the study Bible note put it, we must maintain always a delicate balance between trusting the Lord in everything, dependent on him, and yet also realizing our responsibility in and with everything. Well, in this regard, think of a specific duty or care or responsibility you face right now. Have you sincerely committed it to the Lord? And are you at the same time doing your level best to fulfill that responsibility, whatever it is? God helping you moment by moment, day by day. That's practicing our text. And thus, practicing our text, we can be encouraged. Well, let's think here of our earthly responsibilities and duties, each one, and especially also of our spiritual duties. Let's mention them. Our spiritual responsibilities. We are called, aren't we, daily to repent of sin and to trust and follow the Lord as our only Savior and God. That's your and my solemn responsibility, especially as covenant people of God, to be saved and to live holy and consecrated Christian lives in all godliness and integrity before God and our neighbor. As Paul says in Colossians 3, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God the Father through him. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Well, do we take this responsibility to heart? And do you and I daily bring it to the Lord for Him to work and apply and fulfill in our lives and throughout our lives? You know, there's no spiritual impossibility with us that the Lord can't and won't accomplish by His grace and almighty hand, by His Spirit and Word, for all who ask Him. This is also why, you know, there's no excuse ever for anyone who remains unconverted under the gospel message and who lives unchristianly rather than in faith and obedience before God. Because the gospel is all that you and I need for full and free salvation and for a God-honoring and fruit-bearing life the Lord will give us as we call on Him and abide in Him and His gospel word. Without Him, we can do nothing. But in and through Him, says Paul, we can do all things. Those who hear and follow God's word in spirit and truth can bear fruit by God's provision, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold, said Jesus. Well, the gospel message is, isn't it, congregation? Because of Jesus, ultimately, because of Him Himself living completely perceiving and always praying and perfectly practicing the truth as taught us in Proverbs 16:3, we, because of Him, we can find in and with Him a Savior most able and willing to help us and to bless us in all our needs. Yes, to save us and to renew us and to conform us initially and increasingly in the image of God in Christ Jesus. Let none of us then be unbelieving towards Christ as Savior, but call to Him while He still graciously and grandly and freely is out to redeem and to renew all who come to Him. Apart from Christ, we're just a mass of sin and unprofitableness, most dishonoring to God, and ultimately useless to our neighbors. Sometimes you read in the Old Testament about a king who died and there was no mourning for him. Everybody was just glad he was gone. How empty and meaningless life is, lived in rebellion against God and His word. And how comfortless too, especially in the face of death and eternity hereafter. If you are someone who will not believe and repent and surrender to God in Christ, as urged upon also in our text, then you will not be established for good, but left to perish in sin, even everlastingly. God forbid that that should be the portion of any among us. No, hear rather Christ calling, also in this sermon, to come to Him and be saved and to be truly blessed and established for now and forevermore. You know, the book of Proverbs was written by various Holy Spirit-inspired wise men with lots of life experience. And they wrote especially also for the younger, up-and-coming generation. And they knew what they were saying is the absolute truth. Yes, also with Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord. That is, your responsibilities in life, also your problems and cares in life, roll them upon the Lord, commit them to the Lord, your works, and your thoughts will be established. Your goals will be successful. Even as we sang from Psalters 100 before the sermon, delight thee in the Lord, and He will grant thy heart's request. To Him commit thy way in faith. To Him commit thy way in faith, and thus thou shalt be blessed. Well, isn't this what not only the Lord is out to proclaim and to promise and to promote in our world of sin and misery left to ourselves, but also what God's true people seek to make known to others? Not only then is our creed and our conversation also in our conduct and desire that this is the truth, but we want to promote it to others. Because finding Christ, following Him, we know that's the way of real life. Outside of Him, there is no life. But in Him and with Him, there's a life, abundant life, fullness of life, eternal life, in our every need and care and responsibility. And this is our last and fourth point in connection with our text, Proverbs 16:3. Just very briefly, our sermon theme is this, an inspired proverb worth perceiving, praying, practicing, and promoting. Well, is it what you are promoting as spouses together, as parents with your children, as children and siblings in the home, and in your school life, and in your work life, and in your church life and society life. Oh, that our politicians and rulers too would perceive and pray and practice and promote life and citizenship in line with Proverbs 16:3. We don't see that much, do we? If hardly at all. But let us now focus not on them, but on ourselves. And even in connection with voting tomorrow, if you haven't voted yet, give that responsibility to the Lord. He will establish your thoughts as to how you should vote. Are you and I living in line with Proverbs 16:3 and promoting that? Will you pledge with me by God's grace and Spirit to encourage each other so to live truly and increasingly in the light of our text, promoting this verse wherever and whenever we can? What a light and a salt we then become in this world of darkness and so much spiritual decay and immorality and confusion. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Taking this verse to heart, God helping us, won't our thoughts and lives then be all for God and good, for now and forever? Yes, in family life, church life, school life, work life, and in society life. It will all then be to the glory of God and the extension of His church and kingdom. So you won't forget it then, will you? This God and gospel-inspired proverb, so ever worth our attention. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Will you this fall season, and for as long as you live, with the Lord Jesus Himself as your guide and guard, in all your ways, acknowledge Him as this text speaks of Him. Even so, may the Lord bless us and make us a blessing, and to Him be the glory. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this gem in the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs has lots of gems. And we pray that we may learn that and delight in that. And that we may make it known to others, starting in our homes. And please bless our children and young people that at an early age they may see, yes, the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the end of wisdom. Lord, will you prosper this word also and encourage your people by it, even when maybe facing huge mountains and cares. Lord, to commit them to you and to experience you establish our thoughts and our ways. In your amazing grace and almighty power and tender mercy and love, all for Jesus' sake alone. In His name we pray. Lord, bless us now for a time of fellowship. Bless the catechism and Sunday school classes following the service. Bless this whole day that it may be to your praise and honor and give strength to us as we continue life's brief pilgrimage. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.